All right, well, last week, Pastor Paul did a great message, a great Christmas message, and he talked about in Luke chapter 1, where the angel appeared to Mary and was prophesying over her and said the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, that is of his her child, Jesus, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. The Babylonian Empire ended. No one thought that would end. The Medes and the Persian Empire ended. The Greek Empire ended. No one thought the Roman Empire would end, but it ended. But his kingdom will never end. So that is the good news. His kingdom will never end. And some better news is he has given us the keys to his kingdom. He has given us the keys to his kingdom, and we're going to talk about that today. The title of my message is Kingdom Reign in 2018. And so if we want to make that rhyme, we're just going to have to think more Southern. Kingdom Reign in 2018. Okay. I told that to my brother David in Louisiana. He has a church in Louisiana. He said, if I use that in my congregation, they wouldn't even laugh. They would just think that's totally normal. Kingdom Reign in 2018. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the kingdom. A description of the kingdom in Romans chapter 14 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many like more peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in 2018? Well, it starts out with righteousness. And we're gonna talk about righteousness. It's the main key for the kingdom. One of the main keys for the kingdom of God is righteousness. And I think there is a little bit of order, because in Isaiah 32, it says the fruit of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. You know, we've had some friends over, and last night we had 15 kids in my house, okay? And so I lost a little bit of quietness and peace in my house, okay? But I stayed righteous, didn't lose my cool at all, okay? And that brought peace in my heart. But this, what a great promise. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence. We can all use a little bit more of that. So we're gonna dive into some righteousness. I want to get into my main text. It's found in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 12. It says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Okay? Of course, he's talking about Adam here. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more, say, much more. Okay, underline that in your notes. Much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So if you think about what Adam did, okay, can you imagine a world if Adam did not sin, okay? I mean, no pain, no sin. Sin led to death, no ISIS, no World War I, no Vietnam War, no World War II. It'd be like paradise. Farmers would have it a lot easier, right? Because God cursed the ground. They wouldn't have to work so hard to produce the fruit. Okay? No pain in childbirth. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay? The earth would be a lot better. Probably perfect weather, okay? This is just my theory. You know, I think when sin entered the world, that's when the axis of the earth got tilted, you know, maybe with a tectonic plate split. So maybe it was all just perfect weather. After all, they were naked, right? Didn't need clothes. No shame, no sin. So imagine a world like that. No cancer, no arthritis, no degenerative discs. So how many, when you think about that, some of you get mad at Adam, right? Adam, But no, we were like him, and we would have sinned ourselves eventually as well, okay? And the Lord knew that. He had provision for us. But this is saying what we have in Christ is much more than the consequences of Adam's sin. So if you think of the great consequences of Adam's sin, we have greater benefits because of Christ. And that's the hope in Christ, in the Lord that we do have. Verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more, say much more, will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I want you to underline there, reign in life. We're talking about kingdom reign in 2018. You will reign in life. How do you do that? By God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. If you want to reign in 2018, you have to receive the gift of righteousness. Remember, last time I preached, at the end of November, we talked about we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. So if you think of faith as this pipe, this conduit that to heaven, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace comes through that faith pipe. And one of the key attributes, one of the key virtues of that grace is righteousness. Verse 18, let's finish this main text out. Verse 18 says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. You see, because of God's grace, his unmerited divine assistance, we get the free gift of righteousness, one of the main keys of the kingdom of God. Now, by grace, through faith, I've been given some keys to the church, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the church universal. I mean, I'm talking about Christ Church of Orlando. I have the church keys right here. And one of my favorite keys right here, because only a couple people have it, is the key to the shed, okay? That's one of my jobs here. I oversee the facilities, and it's great when I get, there's always stuff to do. There's always stuff. So if I'm tired of sitting at my desk, I'll just go do a facilities project, get into the shed. One of the best tools we have in the shed is the professional grade backpack blower, the steel backpack blower that Jerry Townsend donated to the church. And that's a great blower. So now let me ask you, why would you use a broom when you have a great blower like that? Now I know little jobs, yes, but when you have to, sweep out the whole complex, you want to grab that backpack blower, don't you? The only reason that we wouldn't grab that backpack blower is maybe we're too small, too immature to strap it on, right? So we would be sweeping away. But we need to go on to maturity. Hebrews 5 says it like this. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. You see that? If you're not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, if you're not walking in it, the Bible says that you're immature. You're not able to handle it. And it says, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. So like our Christianity, sometimes we're sweeping with a broom when we should have that professional grade backpack blower on to get the job done. Amen? And we're struggling in our faith because we're sweeping along, but we're not understanding the gift of righteousness. This is saying when you are acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, you are moving on to maturity. How many are ready to grow up a little bit more in our faith? Okay, and I'm preaching to myself too. So in 2018, we're moving on to maturity. We're going to have more power because we're going to be accessing the keys of the kingdom, and one of those is righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay. Now notice the Apostle Paul is not just talking about the apostles or the main disciples. He's talking about all of us. He says, if anyone is in Christ, is anyone in Christ this morning? Okay, you have a ministry. You are a minister, and that ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, and this next verse, verse 21, goes along with righteousness. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, so it's saying Jesus took our sin and we get his righteousness, and it's a gift. And when you read this in context, you can see you're not going to be able to do the ministry of reconciliation until you understand that you've been reconciled to Christ already. When you get that down deep in your heart, when you feel comfortable with it, then you can minister to the others with the same comfort you have received. You can minister reconciliation to other people because you have received it. So we're not going to be good ambassadors. We're not going to be good ministers of reconciliation. We're not going to be mature in our faith to minister to others until we understand that we have been reconciled to God and we have received the free gift of righteousness. Amen? This is your post-Christmas present right here. It's the gift of righteousness that God has for you. On the cross, Jesus was treated as if he were a sinner, though he was perfectly holy and pure. And we are treated as if we were righteous, though we are defiled and depraved. Great exchange, isn't it? It's a great exchange that we are able to receive from the Lord. And so I know this is a pretty big spiritual teaching. It's foundational as well. But how do we apply it to our lives? I used to have a pastor, and I love doctrine. And you know, sometimes he'd like, okay, Jeff, how does that help me pay my bills? Okay. You have to be able to apply it to people's lives. And so one of the main things, I think we just need to get a different perspective. Perspective can change everything. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as an ambassador for Christ? Or do you see yourself as just a lowly sinner saved by grace? Do you see, perspective can change everything. In Ephesians chapter 2, it gives us a great perspective because of this. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, how many feel this morning like you're seated with Christ in heavenly realms? Okay, it may not be a thought every day that you think about. I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. You're driving on I-4. I am seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Stuck in traffic, you know, I am seated with Christ. But that is the reality, and that can change your perspective, and it can help you in your day-to-day life. It can not only help you be ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation on the mission field, and maybe you'll, because of this, you'll feel called to, you know, go to Africa or go to Honduras with the group, but it should also help you in your everyday life, in driving down I-4. It should help you in your parenting and in every aspect of your life. So Friday, I studied all day to preach, and then Saturday morning, I woke up. Well, actually, yeah, something happened Friday night I'll tell you about, but Saturday morning, I woke up and looked out the upstairs window. So I kind of had this little high and lofty perspective on the backyard. And when I looked out the backyard, it was trashed. There was stuff all over. We got our kids two BB guns. One BB gun for Christmas. And it was better than the Red Ryder, okay? With this one, they can shoot two eyes out, not just one, okay? It's a really good one. And we also broke out the old BB gun, and we set up a little range in the backyard. And they've been shooting a lot, but they didn't pick up after themselves. So there was trash all over the place. And one of the BB guns was left out. Yeah, that's what I said. And so, you know, again, I'm in this perspective, but I've been studying, thinking about these scriptures, and I'm like, you know what? I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is not gonna bother me. And you know what? It should affect our parenting, right? Because in the past, maybe that old nature would have come up and I would have, maybe got angry and had to apologize later. But I'm like, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, and I'm an ambassador for Christ, and I'm going to act like it, even in this situation. And I'm not just training children. I'm not just raising children. I am training ambassadors. I am training future ambassadors for Christ. And that changes your perspective. And so perspective can change everything. Now, the night before, we also had a little situation. And I took a picture of it. Okay. Okay. These are washcloths in our bathroom. And you notice there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 or 7. I do have 6 kids, if you don't know. And I know this might seem trivial about this, but if you're a parent with a lot of kids, this is a big deal, okay? 6 washcloths all bunched up like that. And that next morning, I counted 15 towels that were out. 15 towels, okay? And so I'm like, you know what? I'm an ambassador for Christ, and I have the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm not just raising kids. I'm training future ambassadors for Christ. So we called, we call house meetings regularly. And, you know, because I've already dealt with this. We have a system. They have a color assigned to them. Okay. So I know. And now I do have to praise Blaze. Blaze said, you know, Dad, if you're going to share this, you're going to have to tell them. You don't see a blue washcloth there, right? That's Blaze's. So we have a little rack that after they're done, they're supposed to wring it out, and they can put it in the dirty laundry or hang it up and use it tomorrow. The next day is fine. So Blaze's isn't up there. He's always done a great job with this. So we called a house meeting, and I just kind of, said, as you know, respect, I showed them all the picture, and we talked about the backyard. We talked about the towels. We talked about the washcloths, and it was a great meeting. And this, because I was preaching on Sunday, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite, okay, to my kids, I handled it really well. And actually, Cezanne praised me to my wife, because we also were having the 15 kids come over, and their family we had to do a house pickup as well, and she was out shopping, and we handled that really, really well. So thank you. And I know this is kind of trivia, but as parents, you probably understand, some of you, with shaking your heads, it's a big deal. Because if you have chaos in the house all the time, if they're not picking up after themselves, it's a big deal. But our Christianity should affect our day-to-day life, amen? It should affect our parenting. It should affect those. And if you're not ready to go to Africa on a mission field, if you can't do it in your own personal life, in your own personal space, amen? So this should affect your relationship on the workplace with your spouse. It's we're not just sinners saved by grace. We have a higher calling. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. That means we have access to the kingdom, but we also have authority. And a lot of times we give up our authority. And there's a sign when you give up your authority, when you're angry and frustrated all the time, you're not using the authority that God gave you. Whether you're parenting, okay, because there's something deeper than anger, okay? Anger is a secondary emotion. Usually under anger is the lie of powerlessness or confusion. There's something deeper than that. And when you get angry and frustrated, usually you're succumbing to those lies. But we are not powerless. We are powerful. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we have authority in him. So it should affect your parenting, your relationships with other people, on the workplace, whether you're an employee or if you're an employer. You're not just an employer for employees. You are training ambassadors for your company. Amen? And that's how, it's a just perspective thing. I have a few pictures that kind of show perspective. And let's take a look at these. These are not Photoshopped. These are real pictures, okay? Just a little bit of fun here. Okay, that is not Photoshopped. It's just a picture with the person standing in the background. You have seen some of these, okay? So the devil is not going to eat you in 2018, okay? If you go around the backside, you'll see he's not that big. He's just pretending that he's big and he's scary. Your problems aren't going to devour you in 2018. You just need to get a different perspective. You need to come around the other side. You need to see yourself seated with Christ in heavenly places and looking down from that perspective, from that place of authority and power with the keys of the kingdom in your hand. And your situation will change, okay? Sometimes we can't see the forest because of the trees, right? Well, we need to be lifted up so we can see it. Here's another one here. Yes, that's actually not Photoshopped, I don't think. Kind of looks. So let's go for another one. Okay, yes, Stonehenge. That's neat, isn't it? It's not Photoshop. It's just the foot is in close range. Stonehenge is behind. And that's how it is sometimes. We feel like we're going to get crushed. We're not going to get crushed. You just need a different perspective. Let's go to the next one. Okay, this is a cool one. Have you seen the sidewalk art, the 3D sidewalk art? This is so cool. Here, it looks like, you know, her foot's coming out. It's a really cool. There's the artist about to take a dip. But if we take a different perspective and look from the other side, go ahead, next slide. That's how he gets that toe to look like it's coming out, just a couple, 1 foot. He has to draw it that much. So perspective can change everything. And I'm here today to help you receive the free gift of righteousness so you will see that you have this access into the kingdom of God, and in Christ, you are seated with him in heavenly places, a place of authority, a place of new divine perspective, so you can see your situations differently. I want to give you another sense of perspective when we talk about the ministry of reconciliation. I was looked at the internet, and I looked at a population clock, and this was Friday at noon, and I was looking at the world population, okay, 7.6 billion people in the world. Okay, that's a lot of people. Anyone like to watch people sometimes just sit in the mall, watch people go by or watch cars? And it makes you think, okay, who are these people? What are they doing? What do they do for work? What are their lives like? Are they Christians? Do they know the Lord? 7.6 billion. Out of the 7.6 billion people, 2.4 billion are Christians. That means there's 5.2 billion that are non-Christians, okay? It's a new perspective. We need to all be operating in the ministry of reconciliation to be mature, to be ambassadors for Christ, because there's a world out there that needs this message, okay? Out of the 5.2 billion non-Christians, no, out of the 2.4 billion Christians, 50% are Catholic, 37% are Protestant, which would be evangelicals, Pentecostals, charismatics, and 12% are other, 12% are Orthodox, and 1% is other, okay? So even with all the Christians in the world, how many are mature? How many understand and have received the free gift of reconciliation and the free gift of righteousness? Okay, there's probably, you could probably take that in half again, For those who, do they really understand the gospel, or are they just going through the motions? Do they really believe that they have the keys of the kingdom and that they are seated with Christ? Do they really understand the gift of righteousness? Probably not. You probably take another half. So we need to operate in this calling, and we need to receive this free gift. Okay, I want to give you guys a little test here. Okay, how righteous are you? Scale of 1 to 10. Okay, we'll say 0 being Satan. Okay, 1, you're messed up. Okay, you're addicted to pornography, to drugs, all types of stuff. Okay, that's like a 1. 5, you're doing a lot better, okay? You're doing, maybe not, don't have addictions, you're not stealing, you're not doing things, maybe just cussing, drinking, smoking, or, you know, other things. Now, you're 7 or 8, you've moved past that, you don't have many hang-ups, you know, 8, 9, Mother Teresa-like, okay? 10, Jesus, okay? So how righteous are you? Scale of 1 to 10, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about it. Okay, now I did this at the men's breakfast, so I'm gonna ask Wayne. Wayne, how righteous are you? 10. Ding, 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 ding. That's the right answer. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing, okay? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when we say, and when we're focused on our self-righteousness, the Bible says it's like filthy rags. When we're bringing God our righteousness for salvation, for approval, to access in the kingdom, he says it's like filthy rags. And in fact, I won't preach too long on this, but that is actually translated, that's tampons, okay? So, sorry to be so blunt, but that's actually what the Bible talks about, filthy rags, okay? It's the Bible sanitizes it a little bit, okay? But we're all adults here. That's the true translation. It's like the cloth of a menstrual cycle. That's what it's talking about. And that's, I know that's pretty blunt, but it's going to stay with you. But when we bring... And that's what God is saying. When we bring our righteousness, it's like, it's unclean. It's unclean. And when a woman was on her period in the Old Testament, they actually were put outside the camp. Okay, they were unclean. You couldn't touch them. See, we have better promises these days, don't we? But we are a 10 because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is a free gift. And I want to finish with this illustration. So who feels... Who was like at a 4 or 5, or actually we won't embarrass anybody. I'm just going to pick a volunteer. Nick, why don't you come up here, Nick? Nick, you're looking pretty good today. I like that t-shirt. Okay. Was that a Christmas present?
No.
Looks good.
I just wanted to have some red.
Okay. You wanted some red. Come on up, Nick. Okay. So Nick's looking good. He's got his Christmas red on here, and he's ready for church. But this would represent his righteousness. Jesus takes our sin nature and gives us the robe of righteousness. Okay, let's go ahead and put that on. Okay, and let's take a look at the last verse here. Isaiah 61:10. It says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with jewels, he gives us the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation." Amen. Now, this robe, it fits pretty good. I think you have a little room to grow into it, okay?
I get to keep it, right?
Sure, yeah.
Take away my robe.
Yeah, I can't take away your robe. You want to keep that on all the time. Now, he can grow into it, and that's how it is sometimes with us. You receive it by faith, and our minds have to be renewed to this truth so we can really walk in this truth. But you don't have to take it off. Even if it makes you uncomfortable, don't take it off. And when you sin, when you mess up, You don't have to take it off. In fact, if you really want to change and progress out of your addictions, out of your hang-ups, keep the robe of righteousness on. Because when you keep the robe of righteousness on by faith, it will actually burn out all unrighteousness. It will help you to be sanctified, to help you to grow in your faith. I thought about this. You know, the Bible says to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. And what Jesus said was, if you do that, you'll heap burning hot coals of fire on their head. Okay. What that means is that's conviction of the Holy Spirit. God will work on them. God will change us. But you know what? Jesus is our high priest, and he ever lives to intercede and pray for us. That's fire on us. It's his refining fire on us. And it changes us. It refines us. If our prayers can affect our enemies and non-Christians, don't you think his prayers, our high priest praying for us, can change us and affect us? And it's when we have this robe of righteousness, it's like the refining fire that's on us, that is working in us to change us, to have our lives reflect who we are in Christ. Our seat is fixed. We are seated with him in heavenly places. It is fixed. But our state, sometimes we can change that. We can grow. We can renew our mind so we can actually walk in this truth and walk in this reality. All right, how do you feel? How's that feel on?
I think Pastor Paul should have us ready for the choir now.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, and sometimes it does feel a little awkward when you put it on, but I'm telling you, put it on, and when you do mess up, when you do sin, just say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you sin, it does not change your seat. It does not change your seat. But in fact, your seat and your understanding of that will change your state. Amen? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I am seated with Christ. Go ahead and have a seat and just keep that on, okay? Keep that on for a while. Looks good on you. It looks good on you. Righteousness looks good on us. We are his children. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the free gift of righteousness. And by faith, we receive that now. If you're here today, and this is a different message, you've never heard it like this, you've never heard it presented, but it makes sense to you, and the Lord is working on your heart, I just encourage you to receive it right now by faith. And just say to yourself, Lord, I receive the free gift of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for taking my sin, past, present, and future, and giving me your righteousness. And I receive it by faith. Thank you, Lord. I pray for each and every person here today, that we can walk in this truth, that we can receive the abundant provision of grace in this free gift of righteousness, so we can reign in 2018, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to jump through hoops to enter into your presence. We can boldly go right in. We have that access because of Jesus as our high priest in this gift of righteousness. And we receive your love right now. We come close to you right now. In Jesus' name.